Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies, so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 158, episode 6 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Thursday, November 5th, 2020. My name's Jack O'Brien, aka Jack O'Biden. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
He calls people Jack.
Oh, and hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And because it's cool.
Or it's here's the deal, Jack O'Brien.
Yeah, here's the deal, Jack O'Brien. Thank you for the live punch up.
Here we go.
Francesca. Well, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
One, that's another vote for blue. Two, looks like Trump's term is through. Three, I think the GOP might have lost this presidency. And four, another vote for the D. Five, we're close to 270. Trump thinks we can stop votes for Biden, 'cause it looks like Joe has won.
Okay, shout out to at Waffle House for that possible premature football spike of an AKA. We will not know until the fuckery's results have fully come in. But, you know,
I think it might be called by the time people hear this, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing where it's called, and then another if Trump completely just fires up the base to be like, reject it. But yeah, shout out to
both
you,
of those
Christy.
Things can be true.
Yeah, yeah, it can all be true. And also, we can have a little fun with Brian McKnight.
I think everybody's being very careful with their calls because they don't want, you know, to be accused by the right of being like in the bag. But then by being very careful with their calls, they're going to give Trump more time to, you know, start some shit. Anyways. Mm-hmm. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the talented Francesca Fiorentini.
What's up? That was the sexiest this election's ever been, Miles.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, Liz Jenkins' viral tweet, I have a feeling, inspired that one. When their tweet being like, what is it? Was it Nevada? How the counting's going down in Nevada?
Yeah.
Very slow. But, you know,
very
what
slow,
it is,
sensual.
But we would give him a pass if it was Boys to Men doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you see the clip?
Yeah. Brian McKnight.
No, it's Brian McKnight.
Oh, might be
the clip is wild. Like, I couldn't tell. Are the women who are sitting around singing to the song just part of the audience, or are they like backup singers? Cause,
oh, for the official video where it's like, yeah, when it's like the live performance?
Yeah, the live performance that he's making like very sensual and loving eye contact with the camera as he sings to me.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. We'll just have to pretend he's always singing.
Is this where he's like, there? I feel like half of these videos are just you like a circle poof in the middle of a... of a right. stage that's like rotating, and there's like hot women with their backs to one another, and then it just spins. And
this
then
seemed more like
just Brian McKnight in front.
No, this like, one's very much more traditional. Like it feels like a VH1 like live TV performance. Kind
got
of.
It, got it, got it.
It felt like he was performing it on Oprah or something to me.
Yeah,
I don't know why it felt like that to me. Anyway, Francesca, what have you been up to these past days? How have you spent the election?
God, I mean,
yep, fitting.
Just mostly angry, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. There's no other way around it. I know, it calm and then anger, just sheer anger. I've had less anxiety than I think a lot of people, but I'm just. Like 2016, I feel like this, we're reliving 2016, but actually Democrats might pull through, but the anger at kind of everyone in the, not just the GOP, but the establishment is very much still alive. Like Nate Silver needs to go away forever, ever and ever and ever and ever.
We were
like,
still mostly right.
Yeah. You didn't understand the algorithm. Like it just, right. He's. No more pollsters. We all knew this. Yeah. And so I'm just kind of angry. I'm angry at the Democratic Party, of course, for like this squeaker. I'm just angry about the squeaker. But other than that, like kind of zen, because I feel like, you know, we knew that we were going to have to wait. So what
did you think, though, based on like all the messaging that was happening? Because I feel like most, you know, leftist progressives were watching this and being like, what the fuck is this message, bro? Like you guys are fucking
from
up
Biden?
So bad. Yeah. Like about like if you're trying to energize a large intersectional base of people to like have a, I don't know, a huge, I guess, turnout. It just didn't seem like the messaging was there. It was just very much like,
no.
Look, y'all get it, man. Like, he's shitty. All right?
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean,
yeah. Come
that
on, Jack.
Was, that was enough to get the most turnout in the history of America in terms of the raw number, which I kind of dismissed as a stat because our population is bigger every time there's an election. But also, it's the biggest since 72 in terms of percentage of the population, which if you just like take the percent of eligible voters times the percent of the population that was registered to vote, it's 33% of the population, which is more than like Reagan when he had a landslide in 84. So
make it obligatory, man. Load us up on vans. Yeah. Buy us off with a sandwich the way they do in South America. It's obligatory. Mm-hmm. But what happens when voting is obligatory is politicians have to talk about poverty. So, like, the Democrats would actually have to do that.
Right.
So that's good. But, yeah, 33% is awesome and sad at the same time.
No, but didn't you hear, Francesca? If you like your private health insurance, you can keep that.
Yep.
We've all met those people. You know when you're just like hanging around the fireside
with the
friends,
homies around your oil drum fire?
Yeah, around your oil drum fire and you see the light in your friend's eyes and he's like, you know what? Even though I don't have a place to live, like I just love the billing system of Kaiser.
Yeah.
I got this book from the library and I got this knife that's pretty sharp. So I'm just going to ask that you take out my appendix for me. I was going to say Trump is also like Trump had more a bigger percentage of the population vote for him than Reagan did in the 84 landslide election. So there were a massive number of people motivated on both sides. It's just they were both motivated by Trump, I think.
Right. And if Georgia ends up going blue, I'm curious to know what the agenda is going to be for this administration where yet again. Black and brown votes, you know, had to pull up in force to try and tip this thing. Because, again, the upholders of, you know, de facto racism also came out in full force. But, yeah, I'm curious to see what those priorities end up looking like for somebody who's like, yeah, we don't have to really look at police reform. Please vote for me.
Those are going to be the story. If Arizona and Georgia pull for pull out for Biden, those, that's just the story. That's the whole story and the fact that Trumpism is not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah. But I'm sure we're going to get into it. There's a mandate from black and brown people that things need to get done, if anything, if you want to look at it. I mean, that's how they should be looking at it. But
for sure,
we'll see.
Yeah. It does seem like Biden's response has been like, well, I got to govern for these people on the right as well. So have to take white supremacy into account, because wasn't his like sort of soft victory speech like, I'm the president, has to be for everybody, both sides.
Right.
Jack.
So if you want a public option and get price gouged in the private side, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
I mean,
you
this
like.
is the thing though with those speeches. Like, yeah, I mean, they're good enough in terms of where we think we're gonna get, you know, pull through in Pennsylvania, or we think we're gonna pull through in Arizona, and we keep counting the ballots and da, da, da. Like, that's good enough for now. But you're absolutely right, Miles. Like, as soon as MAGA supporters come out in real force, and as soon as the president actually realizes he's lost and is like, no, 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 it was all fraudulent, then that like middling mealy mouth, like, let's just, we're going to win. Like, you know, you need to ratchet that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hardcore. And we'll see if he even has it in him, or if it's going to be just kind of like, you know, you can't, you got the election.
Yeah. Yeah. We got it.
Right. Right.
It like there needs to be some manner of systemic change. And
sure,
that's
but even
my
before
position.
That, yes. Big structural change.
Some manner of change.
Wow, look at
so
you.
I've got
politician.
A plan. And all right, Francesca, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are, what you're up to, all that good stuff?
Oh, God, this is pretty good, because I did election like punditry and coverage for a really big Argentine YouTube channel that does like comedy and news together every day. And the guys are like, they're so smart. They're lightning fast. They speak really fast. And I lived there for many years, for 5 years. But man, my Spanish is so out. It's just rusty as shit. And so like, here I am trying to explain like, bueno, yo siento okay. Oh my God. And like, meanwhile, this guy, like this Argentine dude, explained the entire American system better than I could. And I was like, why do you need me? But
in one word, basura.
Yeah, yeah. Basura. But the real thing is like, if you're semi-bilingual and you want to read more in Spanish, it's so hard to just be like, oh yeah, let me attempt to read Cien Años de Soledad, you know, like 100 Years of Solitude again for the 12th time after I fucking have no idea what's going on, because magical realism and like being an English language speaker do not work. Like, it's very difficult to understand. So I'm like, I was looking up young adult Spanish language books because I can't read hard shit. So I've read all the Hunger Games in Spanish. So fun. And
nice.
Super on my like level of reading level. And so now I think I'm going to read The Fault in Their Stars or something. I might even do Harry Potter in Spanish because I've never read it in English.
Mm-hmm.
But trying to get, if anyone has suggestions for like a good YA, even in Spanish, I don't know if they've got their, you know, I don't know if there's like a famous Latin American YA writer. But that's what I need, just like sixth grade shit.
Mm.
Talk about crushes and like, you know. I don't know, getting your period for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
La broma infinita, I think might be good. Infinite jest.
Fuck you.
That book.
Dude, I read, okay, get this, sorry, not to go on, but I read Haruki Murakami, The Wind Up Bird Chronicles, in Spanish. And actually, it made total sense because I didn't understand a word of it. I read the whole thing and I was
equivalent.
Like, nope. Same thing.
mm-hmm. What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated? This one always is hard for me. Open racism.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind
get more into it, y'all.
Crushing it. Like, yeah, like, you can sort of get away with it now. And
sort of. I think you can.
You can totally get it. Like somehow we're missing that. Open racism actually wins elections, is incredibly effective, and mobilizes a bunch of people. I think there was GOP understand it. I'm just like, never ceases to amaze me. Obviously, I'm being facetious, we shouldn't get into open racism. But right. Holy shit, how it's worked wonders.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's underrated how powerful it is in the United States, for sure.
Yeah, more than like the mismanagement of like candidates or, you know, a direction of a election or campaign, like the pain that caused. I think just that confirmation of just how, you know, pro-white supremacy a lot of people are, whether they fully understand the nuances of their support of Trump or not. But just to see like on a binary, like, yeah, I like that better. That was probably like the hardest thing to just like sort of be confronted with again. But yeah. Like I was saying, I think yesterday too, I don't know, in a way it like sort of helped validate my sort of cynicism about the country too, without being like, oh, I'm just like a doom and gloom America hater, more than like, no, this is where we're at, y'all. Like this is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the ways that Michael Harriet of The Root had a good tweet thread. This is not the tweet I like, but just explaining the ways that, yeah, if he grew in percentage points, Trump grew in percentage points with Black voters and Latino voters, it's because racism, you can be racist and be any race. And everyone pretty much lives in a system of white supremacy, and we are racist whether we know it consciously or unconsciously. And it's always been a meal ticket for model minorities or people who want to throw their communities under the bus to supposedly get ahead economically and socially. And he tracks like Italians and Irish and how like Italians were some of the most racist because they were the on the receiving end of so much racism themselves that they then turned around and were like, well, we're going to distinguish ourselves from Black Americans by being extra racist. So it's like, it's worked in the past. And so it doesn't boggle my mind to see Latino and especially white Latino voters going for Trump.
I mean, if you've seen the like Sammy Sosa pictures of like him with the extra like kind of terrifying skin whitener shit,
he
looks great.
It's just like extra
he's getting way more
powerful like white supremacy and internalized like white supremacy.
And I think that speaks to a lot like a survival mechanism, which is like, I just maybe need to cozy up to my oppressors to have a less turbulent time, and sometimes people really feel that that is the easier path for I guess perceived comfort, or because it's not liberation. While there are definitely a group of people who are like, no, that ain't liberation. That ain't it. Cozying up to my oppressor is not liberation.
Right. What is something you think is overrated, Francesca?
Propositions. Propositions and measures on fucking on these ballots. Like, we're in California and so much is being thrown to ballots that shouldn't be. We just passed Prop 22, giving an exemption to Uber and Lyft and like baking in some impossible, an impossibility, a way to basically never rescind it. You know, it has to be overturned by 7/8 of the state legislature. So much is put on these, on our ballots that we shouldn't opine on. Look, I don't even know if we should opine on, like, I don't even know if we should all vote for president, even though I just said maybe we should, it should be obligatory. Democracy might be overall overrated. That's what I've learned. Just maybe we shouldn't have an opinion. And that's the thing with these propositions. It's like you get a glossy flyer. You don't know. You kind of feel like it's definitely one of those, you know, if you don't know the answer on the Scantron test, just like fill in any bubble. Right. Nah, man. Leave
don't
it blank. Just fucking leave it blank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then we've got like California made almost zero progress. I know there is a little bit, but almost zero progress on a statewide level when it comes to our ballots and propositions. Why are we weighing in on dialysis? Why are we weighing in on random ass shit that should be left to legislators?
Yeah. I think it's like having any kind of industry be able to get into these, you know, ballot initiatives is just, it's the darkest shit that we have, especially like in our voting systems. Because you look at how much money they spent. I saw some stat, like, they put more money in than Bernie's fucking presidential campaign raised. Went into, like, over $200 million went into this shit. When you think of, like, again, we've been talking about this proposition. We're like, spend the fucking money to treat these people like employees, not fucking automatons that just need like, oh, we'll give them a little bit of oil and fuel and water and they'll be okay. Like, these are human beings who are putting in their labor to fucking kick the money up to these fuck. Anyway, so it's just it is really disheartening. And I think a lot of people have asked, like, well, what about this one? This one? I'm like, always just look at the fine print first when you get these mailers, because they'll always tell you paid for by something. And sometimes it'll be euphemistic, like the alliance of, you know, concerned rideshare providers.
They're
or
always
whatever.
Concerned.
Yeah.
Every time someone's concerned, you're like, are you, though?
Yeah.
I feel like that's a dead giveaway that you're dismantling what we're talking about.
Oh, no. This is from the Coalition of Concerned Capitalists and Profiteers, the CCCP. And you should really check it out. But even with the dialysis one, it was like paid for like by the cult, like the fucking dialysis industry. And you're like, yes. Of course.
Right. Dialysis clinics.
If they want it, say fuck you. Anytime these people come and they're backing something, always say, absolutely, I don't need to back fucking Pacific Gas and Electric or Uber or whatever.
I just want to say that if and when the rich figure out how to turn poor people into fuel, Uber and Lyft drivers will absolutely be like putting their little pinky toe into their fuel, into the gas tank, and just be like, that's part of it.
Right.
And then you'll be like, hey, if you give up three of your toes, you get $1,000 more this week. And, oh, all right. You know,
right.
But I'm running out of toes. Well, do you have a kid? Yeah.
Exactly.
How old? How old is your kid? 14. Okay. Yeah, we can work with that. They got all their toes.
Uber is thrilled to partner with Kroger brands to give out like money coupons for groceries for 1,000 miles driven. For people who aren't in a state, you know, that does ballot initiatives, it's basically like they do a yes or no vote on some legislation, right? And my question is, like, on the dialysis, right? So that became a question where somebody wanted to regulate more strictly dialysis clinics and basically have a doctor, make it mandatory to have a doctor on the premises of dialysis clinics for the health of the people who are receiving dialysis. And that becomes a ballot initiative in California, in a state where there aren't ballot initiatives. That would presumably just like go to the desk of one of the politicians. Like, what is the difference there? Like, does the ballot initiative...
I think it seems to be a workaround. I think it's a workaround of the legislation to... And you can easily manipulate. I mean, look, you can manipulate the legislature. The fossil fuel industry has been doing that here in California for years. We can't get the most minimal regulations when it comes to the environment here. But I think it's an easy way to sidestep the legislature and just kind of dupe people by putting something that sounds like government outreach, overreach, or sounds like freedom, whatever it sounds like. Sounds like freedom. You know,
It's like getting people to participate in their own oppression by like convincing them with a bunch of advertising dollars of something. I guess my question is just like, is the alternative that they're just using that money to pay off the politician to like do the same thing?
Probably. And like, where I just want to know, like, there are some legislators in Oregon high as fuck on psilocybin. For the psilocybin legalization that was passed, and like, good on them. Like, I know, like, big shroom lobby came through.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, Nithya, who has now officially, like, it's been announced, she won her election against shitty ass David Rue. One of the things that somebody was pointing out when they were writing about that is that one of the things that was new this time is that it happened in an election year. So you had like more people paying attention to it, more people voting, whereas that election usually happens in an off year. And so it's like much easier for people just to like people who are like moneyed interests to get elected because they just sort of manipulate the vote. But that was something that was determined by a ballot initiative like in 2016, I think, that it would be an on year instead of an off year. So, like, I guess I'm just like wondering
what the balance is.
Yeah, it's a double edged sword where, like, sometimes it you can get like a populist thing through that otherwise wouldn't have gotten through, like psilocybin or, you know, something like voting when people are actually voting.
Yeah, I mean, in red states, it's actually really great because they, for example, have passed Medicaid expansion in places that don't want to expand Medicaid. They've passed minimum wage laws, that they've passed re-enfranchising, you know, former felons in Florida. What happens right there, of course, is that then their Republican legislatures are like, nah, 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 nah. See, popular right will, not into the popular will. And then they right overturn it. So it just depends on what state you're in.
Yeah.
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 But yeah, it fucks up both. Because again, I remember when I was working more on campaigns, like one I worked on was for it to get higher clean energy standards in the state by like 2030. And then it was a small group of people who were just like, this is something good. This is like what we need to do. This is like 2007. And then you get inevitably, you're like, brace yourselves for every utility company to just obscure the entire message, which wasn't even like about getting to renewable energy standards that were like going to help put the state on a path towards like, you know, doing a good job offsetting carbon emissions. It was like, they are trying to raise your electrical prices with a fatally flawed argument. Like that, then like they love that term too, fatally flawed. But it, yeah, it's just, it sucks. And like with the Uber one, when it cuts the other way. Right. They were like, nah, man, fuck that. The courts decided, these are employees, man. You have to start treating them like that. And they're like, oh, yeah? Well, now we're just going to fucking hypnotize people with, you know, mid-roll ads on like streaming services and glossy mailers.
But this
and text
is the
messages
thing about like, you know, California is a blue state. We can't have any finance, like campaign finance laws that allows that to be illegal for a corporation to put that much money behind something.
Right.
Or front shadow groups that then do that. Like, come on.
Yeah. Well, what's next? Our federal elections?
Right. And then, I mean, that's First Amendment shit. Come on. You gotta give corporations the ability to spend billions of dollars to express themselves.
Yeah.
They are citizens.
If corporations are people, then they should die at some point. Right?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
They should only live to like average age of an American.
Right. And they should also be able to go to prison for life.
I believe J.P. Morgan Chase is a mutant. How long have they been around? This is impossible, my honor. We have to
definitely
get to the
bottom a vampire.
Of this.
We must
definitely
behead
a vampire.
Them.
Yeah, yeah.
Guillotines. Okay.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Zeit gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. Celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women. Creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection. Obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back. So just for a timestamp of where we are in the presidential election, people are saying Nevada is now callable. So the people who I've seen say Nevada is basically callable are people who haven't called Arizona yet. So like we were talking about up top, I feel like people are scared to call the election, to be the first to call the election, because they just know the hell that that's going to unleash from QAnon and the president. And but yeah, so there's people who say Nevada's callable. There's people who say Arizona's callable. If you put those together, you have Biden at 270 electoral votes, you know, but nobody is saying both of those things at the same time because I think they're scared.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's led to this really interesting thing, because when Arnon Mishkin, the guy who controls Fox Decision Desk, you know, was like very firmly was like, no, I'm not calling it for I'm calling it for Biden.
Yeah.
There's this whole story that came
Arizona.
Arizona was for Biden. And there was all this pushback. Apparently, like, Jared Kushner was like desperate and like calling people at Fox News trying to be like, don't. Like, why are you trying to do that? But I think that was also, it seems like a lot of people are saying that was a decision from Fox to not allow the president to begin gaining momentum on some like fuckery based narrative of like, what happened here? I was ahead of it. And they're like, nope, we're not doing that. And that's why they were maybe a little more aggressive with that call.
Yeah. I mean, have they said that, or that's just a theory as to like why
that's
they
a
might
theory
have been aggressive?
Well, I think that, I mean, because if you look, if they did capitulate and were like, oh, yeah, Trump won, or maybe just didn't even call it, that would make the at least the numbers that a lot of like channels were putting up in the Electoral College score, so to speak, look a little bit closer. And then people have been like, what's going on? But I think by having Arizona so solidly saying like, oh, we're saying that's for Biden, already sort of changes the narrative in the sense of like, oh, victory is imminent for the Biden campaign, most likely, if Arizona just won.
Well, it makes it so that he can't have a unified message of stop the count, right? Because Arizona gives Biden the White House. And so if you stop the count there, Biden's ahead. So now you have to Trump has to do this thing where he's like, stop the count in these states in particular, and then keep counting in this other state in particular. And it just sounds transparently like bullshit.
Well, there's no other way you can't
probably
spin it.
A coincidence and not like Fox News's grand plan to undermine the Trump administration, just because they've actually done this before. Their decision desk has like called states before anybody else. And oftentimes it's for the Democratic candidate. And I feel like they have the license to do that because A, they have a really good like polling department. Like they actually are very independent from the opinion section, but also they don't like, they're the one place that's not worried about being said to have a liberal slant, you know, so they can just do what they want because they're not worried that Fox News is going to call them liberal cucks.
Well, now all their followers hate them.
Yeah. This is why Fox News sucks, right? That's why we're seeing
signs. Yep.
They're screaming it. I mean, but it's like the rubber is really hitting the road here when it comes to, is the moon made of cheese because the president said so?
Yeah.
Or is it not? And this is, but it's just numbers. It's like, do we have, this is the moment of alternative facts, right? We haven't really had to stare it down so starkly because it's been 4 years of a Trump presidency. And so he can just make it up and Fox News will go along because that's the propaganda. But this is a test of loyalty. And you risk putting your entire network. I mean, God, they've already completely ruined themselves. But when it comes to fact or fiction, numbers or not numbers, 270 electors or not 270 electors, because the truth is they want to stop counting, but no one's gotten to 270. So you kind of have to start continue to count. And if you stop right now, Biden wins by all measures.
Right.
Except no one's gotten to 270 yet. So it's like, it's, do you put your entire network like at the behest of the Trump administration or not? Do you burn your credibility or not? And whatever credibility you had left.
Yeah, what's left, yeah.
So it is a surprising move, though. I'm actually proud.
Yeah, I mean, even reading like how desperate, apparently all these reports of how desperate Jared Kushner was, like trying to get Rupert Murdoch on the phone and be like,
look, man, I'll suck your dick.
Yeah, like
man.
I feel like in a movie where like if you're doing like the we're going to drink, you know, MAGA tears dramatization of this, like Jared Kushner's like running down a hallway, like banging on the door, like Mr. Murdoch. And he's like, I'm sorry, Jared. We can't help you today, mate. And then it's like, the rich bastards always win. Like, I don't know what, you know, that dynamic is like, but that's what I see in my head. And you realize, too, as these lawsuits and all these other things keep failing and their flailing is getting more intense, you know, you hate and love to see it.
Murdoch's going to be fine. I was just, like, thinking of his money-making enterprise. Like, he's going to be fine. He doesn't need Trump to keep making bogus bullshit right-wing propaganda content. It'll actually be kind of a great tool if they are part of the so-called resistance and opposition. They can, because they'll finally be the victims that they've always said they are.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They can never, they're terrible at being in power. They're only good at being the out-of-power group because that's all they have. Like, it doesn't make sense to cry like unfair and foul play when you're at the wheel of everything. It just doesn't work like that. It's like, well, then fucking do it. You had every fucking chamber locked up.
Exactly. The one thing they're good at is they get to like spend as much money as they want to and not tax anybody because they're not criticizing themselves. So they get to like spend irresponsibly like they accuse Democrats of doing. And that's like their one superpower when they're in power. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm glad to hear that you think Rupert Murdoch's going to be okay. I was a little worried for him. Apparently called him on election night. There was like a call from the president, Donald Trump, to Rupert Murdoch, where he's like, what the fuck are you doing with this call? And Rupert Murdoch was like, I'm not pulling it back, homie. Like, it is what it's.
This election night? Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah. When they called the Arizona thing, he allegedly called and complained that he had called it too early. And also, I do want to say that Arizona has now also been called by the AP, who are notoriously pretty conservative about calling things. So,
yeah,
like,
they're not anti-CNN.
Right. So, I mean, like, you got the AP calling Arizona, you got our favorite guy, Nate Silver, who has been saying that like he didn't even think Arizona should have been called, but he's like Nevada should have been called. Like Nevada is far enough. So now it seems like we're there and it's just a matter of like the official announcement being
also
made.
Like Georgia too.
Yeah, and Georgia.
Shout out to Georgia because we're looking at now is they're saying there's 47,000 votes, over 47,000 outstanding votes left. And that's more than most people thought was.
Yeah,
if that's the case, Biden he can win those by an even lower margin.
Yeah, they're saying that one might end up being like as Florida in 2000 close.
Right,
like
and
Georgia.
Moot.
Don't say that, Jack.
And then,
why?
Well, but it won't be the deciding state because Arizona and Nevada get him there, and then they say Pennsylvania is not even going to be particularly close. Biden's going to win.
Because Biden has to, Yeah, in terms of the mail-in vote, Biden only has to win 60% of the outstanding mail-in vote. When they're the mail-in votes they're counting, he's winning at a rate of 78%.
Yeah. In Georgia or all over?
In Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania. Got it.
And like where they're pulling from are not Republican strongholds. Like there are Trump votes out there, but what's left on the plate is like, that doesn't look red to me.
There is a very, very calming map and an important one to look at, which is looking at the vote by population and not by giant red swaths and states. Just everyone needs to look at that map and just remember that land doesn't vote. Cows can't vote. They should be able to. I'm not saying that livestock shouldn't have the vote.
That's the slogan in 2024 for the GOP.
Yes.
But I mean, all this stuff can probably be safely forgotten about by the time you listen to this, assuming somebody has called the election by then. The Trump campaign. Let's move over to the shadow realms, where they are. it's wild. I was watching CNN this morning, and they were broadcasting from Las Vegas. And the dude who was like talking about how like there are dead people voting in Nevada was like the angriest kid from like pickup basketball court that I played at in college. Like this dude who I was like always like that. There's something off about that man. Like he grew up to be one of these Trump people.
This guy,
who, like,
where everything's
out.
A foul.
Yeah, everything.
Hot
exactly.
Foul, man.
No, but just, this entire
always
election.
Always ready to boil over, yeah.
Yeah, this entire election, though, I mean, because it really is a game that has rules that, you know, there's cheating and there's not cheating, everyone's using the same analogy of, like, playing sports with a sore loser, i.e. the kid you used to babysit, who, like, you'd right. let score on you a million times, and then you'd score one thing, and be like, nuh-uh, timeout.
Yeah, right. Except this is an analogy. It was actually that guy. was the guy who was making the speech. My friends were like all texting. They were like, holy shit.
Wait, no, you're... Oh,
it was a literally
quite
him?
Literally.
It was literally the guy. Yeah, he... yeah. No,
I
literally the guy.
Clever head.
No.
Shit.
He
that
was a
man.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, when God. I was an undergrad, he was in law school and Perfect. Was
holy
just
shit.
The biggest asshole at the court.
Yo, let's go play twos or something with him.
Get him on this show.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I exchanged a word with him. He was just such an angry asshole that he was, like, notorious among our friends
as being
the guy who
there's always,
was
no matter what,
a
like,
nightmare.
If you play any sport at a park, there's always that person, no matter what the sport is. There was when I play soccer at the park, there's a guy we call Full Kit Wanker. Or old Messi, because he would wear an entire head-to-toe Barcelona Messi uniform, and he had a balding pigtail. He would do all these he would always act like you fouled him and shit, and he was so like past it, and he would and like he was just awful to play with because he fucked the flow of the game up and like made it all about him. So yeah, I'm glad to see that you could actually watch that evolution of park asshole to fucking screaming politico. Yeah. Or whatever.
My friend did research on him, and apparently, like, he had a relative who was a politician. There's like some, his dad not acknowledging him because he was an out of wedlock child thing going on. It's all sorts of.
Now Jesus. You made me feel sorry for him.
So he was, no. Don't.
The Jon Snow of pickup basketball.
Yeah, the Jon Snow, exactly. Except instead of funneling it into stoicism, he funneled it into just being angry and full of shit. Which, as Bannon put it, they are, you know, utilizing the Steve Bannon method of, and this is a quote, flooding the zone with shit. That's how Steve Bannon describes what they did with the Trump administration, with the Trump campaign in 2016. It does seem like they are really itching to do something that we brought up from the year 2000, the Brooks Brothers riot, where a bunch of preppy Republicans in blue blazers like broke into the Miami-Dade courthouse where they were doing the recount and basically got it suspended by being like, "Here, this is voter fraud, what you guys are doing." Mm-hmm. And that actually was the end of the vote because then the Supreme Court froze the recount process. So they're trying to do something similar to that, but they don't seem to have the wherewithal at least not as of yet. And they also don't, like I was saying earlier, like Florida was a recount that was on like literally a knife's edge. It was like depending on if you counted the votes that had like been pushed in too much or were like pushed the wrong way, Gore or Bush won. Like it was just like that close. Whereas now it's like across four states. That Biden's
yeah, and they're trying to do a thing where
a lot.
Well, they fucking that was for a recount.
Yeah, like, that was a recount.
So there wasn't revolt, wasn't over stopping the vote counts.
Right,
like they're the sequence is all fucked up.
But everything everything in 2000 was so shady. Like, and you don't immediately jump to the Supreme Court, right? That had to go through. I mean, did it have to go through the Florida Supreme Court, or was it a federal court that was an appointee? You know, and then so just like the gears were absolutely greased upwards hand it over to the Supreme Court. Jeb Bush, of course, as the governor. I want 20 years of my life back. I've said this time and time again, but give me my years back.
Please clap.
Yeah, thank God. Please clap. Thank God this motherfucker is not good at this stuff.
Right. He's not coming from a dynastic political family either, where like, you know, the homies
know
are
that?
All working in spots. Huh?
You don't know
oh,
that?
Trump? You don't know where you don't know where my dad's been. He was a Nazi. but like with this, you know what I mean? Like it would be like, Jack, if you're trying to get into basketball, like you have familial connections where like you could probably find a way to maybe end up in some backroom team, not as a coach or whatever, because like you're familiar in that industry. So
not as like anyone important, you know, but
nah. I mean,
but
you might
be able to, I could be the starting point guard for
the Miami Heat.
76ers.
But, you know, like with Trump, everyone's like, dude, fuck this dude. Like there's not the same, he's not coming from the same place, and already he's fucking up already like the table that a lot of these Republicans had set.
He's so tacky about it. This is a thing that the Supreme Court has told him multiple times. They're like, oh yeah, you can ban asylum, but like don't be so flagrant, you know?
Yeah.
Just give us another case. We'll totally say yes to it. But you know, like pass it through some lawyers that actually know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
And then we'll be all good. And they're like, nah, bored. I'm tired of that already. Like, you know, they've been told multiple times they're just bad at being fascists. And that's what's so scary, because it's like a blueprint for the future on how to be a better one.
Yeah.
Right.
They're like, how to not be a fascist. And they're like, okay, avoid all these things, be a little more slick, deracialize all your language, and then you can get a little more momentum going. Well, yeah, I feel like most court, like with like anything a court or a judge sees from the Trump, like any apparatus at all in terms of lawsuits, are like going through like, okay, let me just go through this. Okay, most of these sheets are blank that you've seen. This one just has a swastika on it, and then this one says black and brown bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, so we got to stop the vote, Your Honor. We have to stop the vote.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
They're just being dismissed immediately. Like, they're like, no, we'll look at it. You know, obviously, this is timely. Let's look at it. None of this is anything. You don't even have an argument here.
Have you guys talked about yesterday? I don't know if you talked about, but yo, they sent Eric Trump and Giuliani to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For a crickets press conference.
I forgot who Eric Trump was this morning. That's my first sign that my brain is broken, but also that we're moving in the right direction. I was like, wait,
I mean,
that's not one of
you
his
don't
son's
win.
Name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eric Trump. The that's when you know he's in it to win it. When
and
he sends
Pam Bondi and all they got just the lowest energy scammers. You know what I mean? Like they can't even, you know, like you know a good scam when you see one. You're like, oh shit, okay. I can see how you can sneak that one by. These people are like, they only have the first thing they want to say out loud that's like incendiary, and have not done any thinking about what follow-up questions could occur and how to navigate that. Because it's
their
happening.
Their best lawyer is in jail, dude. If Cohen, if Michael Cohen were on the case, I feel like I'd be more scared.
Right. Even Scaramucci, I feel like, could do a better job right now. But Bondi Toys, she was on Fox and again coming on saying that they're like, she was at this press. There are fake ballots in Pennsylvania. Okay. And she says this on Fox. And, you know, Steve Doocy asks a follow up question because, you know, that's a pretty, like, if true, then huge. If you're saying there are fake ballots, and we would love to see some receipts. And the way she just pivot, I don't know. Just listen to this really low energy scam.
That discounts on November 4th. That discounts every legal vote that came in.
Yep.
So that means all the the good residents who are all supporting us in Pennsylvania, their votes don't count by these fake ballots that are coming in late.
What?
And back
Pam,
to the observation, they're not letting us watch the process.
Pam, did you just say fake ballots?
There could be. That's the problem.
There
what
could
the
be.
Fuck? Pam. Yo, 911. This man is breaking into my house.
I'm sorry,
okay,
ma'am.
We'll send an
did
officer
you say
right
you're
there.
Breaking? Someone's breaking into your house.
There could be.
Well, they could.
Yo.
Well, you just called 911, ma'am. So I need to know. Did somebody? I don't know. That's why we need to figure
that
out.
You guys are supposed to find out, right?
Well,
even that makes more sense. This is like, you know, oh, well, some people tried to use a coupon at Target a day late, ergo, everyone who got a coupon before, all invalid. No.
Yep.
They owe us money. And it's like, and again, we know what she's saying. She's saying any mail-in ballots that are received after the date of the election are fraudulent somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
No.
Which is, by the way, like hundreds. It's not that many. Like, it's not enough to swing things one way or another. Like,
I'm so spoiled in California because in San Francisco, I was voting. And, like, I remember I was, like, so excited about this election. Do you think I voted early? Hell no. I voted by mail, put my ballot day of in the mailbox and was like, they'll count it. Like, I was so cocky. And because they will. And they did. And so many late ballots were actually way more progressive and whatever. Still didn't get the candidate I wanted. But the point is... Yes, day of mail-in happens.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, in a just world, it's very easy to vote in a just democracy.
Well, and they're like fucking scam show continued even today where they were in Nevada and Rick Grenell, who used to be the fucking acting DNI, the director of national intelligence. Mind you, this man was the ambassador to Germany before this. And the Germans were like, yo, this dude has the energy of like the viceroy of like a colonizing power. This dude is not an ambassador. He's on some weird shit.
like some Stephen Miller shit, right?
Yeah. He was out here in Nevada being like, there's more fraud out here because that's part of their angle. And, you know, shout out to Jacob Soboroff at MSNBC. He just kept walking with him and asked the most basic questions, right? You're out here holding a press conference with Matt Schlapp, who, don't forget, was also part of the Brooks Brothers revolt.
Matt Schlapp.
Yeah, he was basically out here making all these accusations. And like a journalist says, okay, hold on, sir. I have a question for you.
Hey, Rick Grenell, we're live on MSNBC right now. Can you talk about the evidence? You are claiming thousands of illegitimate votes here in Nevada. What's the evidence?
You should go in and ask the question of the clerk.
No.
Which you haven't
you
done yet.
You guys just made the claim. No, in fact, you also said there's no election observers. There's Democratic and Republican election observers inside, Mr. Grenell. Former DNI Grenell, acting DNI. Where's the evidence of the fraud? You haven't presented any evidence of fraud.
Where's the evidence?
They presented no evidence of fraud, Craig.
So he fucks off into a van. What he says, you should ask them. And he's referring to a case where this woman said that she went to go vote day of, but then they said her mail-in ballot had been returned. And she's like, well, that wasn't me. And they're like, okay, so you're saying fraud? Someone filled out your shit for you? And she's like, yeah. And she's like, okay, would you like to make a statement then? And we can start this. We can start a proper investigation. She's like, nah, not really. And then when the Secretary of State looked at the signatures and things like that, they matched. And she was like, she kind of sort of gave up the argument right there. And very narrowly, a lot of Republicans have been using that example to be like, you see, the guy, Joe Gloria, who's running the Clark County count over there, he at first he said there was nothing, but then when someone followed up and mentioned her, he said that they had already investigated. So what is it? And, you know, it sounds like he didn't mention it because it sounded like somebody who's making a stink. And then when they pressed it, they're like, oh, never mind. So it's all just really, really
No,
lame.
I just found my wallet. Yeah, I found it.
And Rick Grenell, I mean, shout out to somebody who has no business working in any kind of office. Just one look at his Instagram account. I just had to go in there because there's something about him. He's the most basic man of all time. Like, he's got his, like, I'm in the Mediterranean with my ice cream. And he's got just his whole, there's like another photo. He's like, I'm at Suzanne Summers' estate. He's like with a like a hot spring tub in a mountain. The weather is fantastic. And you're like,
oh, God.
Here, let's take a quick break and continue talking about this asshole when we come back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection. Obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and yeah, there's all sorts of interesting people coming out of the woodwork on the Trump side of things. It's like a, you know, third act where they're bringing all the cameos back from like the just wildest people. We've also got his pastor, his spiritual advisor.
Oh, God.
Powering up the prayer group?
Yeah, that is wild. She's speaking in tongues. She's got one shoulder stylishly exposed, but
for Christ.
Yeah, it's Paula White.
And he died for my drip.
Paula White is pretty an incredible figure, right? She believes in something called, I think, prosperity Christianity. But basically, like, if you're already rich, that's because God wants you to be rich.
So don't worry about it.
She's got a couple churches that went bankrupt. She owed like $500 million. So she's really perfect for Trump. There's no one more fitting to be speaking in tongues for him.
Yeah. Grifters just attracting the grifters. And when you look at like comparatively, I mean, you know, not to make light of like people's situations, but like, you know, when you compare her like capitalist tongue show, whatever that was, to like legitimately people like asylum seekers around the world like singing and praying together that Trump is ousted, or like villages in India where Kamala Harris's family's from, like, you know, make like all dedicating energy to sending good vibrations. You're like, I don't in the vibe wars, I think Biden might be winning the vibe wars too.
Yeah,
but it's just fucking it's really all unsettling.
Yeah, I mean, in that version of like prosperity gospel, like there's a high stakes for an election because like God is determining like who wins and loses. Like that's what happens in that version of the world. And that theology is like God is like, yeah, no, you win this one, and is overseeing the recount or count. Sorry, I shouldn't say recount.
Jesus feeding and helping the poor and the lepers. Ew. Yeah. It's just very, it's like the Mean Girls of Christianity. Like, yeah, you're exactly. poor, ew.
That's actually not what he did, is Jesus actually went there and was actually just shooting jumpers with paper towel rolls. That's what he was doing. That's what Christ did.
Like, there were some calls to just ban Trump from Twitter yesterday that I feel like that should maybe be more of a thing that people are calling for, because what's happening right now is pretty scary, right? Like the QAnon cult, like the people who have been, you know, we've already had people who are Trump supporters sending bombs to Obama and Hillary mm-hmm. Clinton, and we've had people who are Trump supporters driving to Walmart and shooting over a dozen people to death. We've had, you know, Trump supporters are
driving
already
their cars
an activated,
into protesters.
Yeah, already an activated violent mob and
inexhaustible.
It just feels like the only reason we're not making a bigger deal about this and the danger that they pose and that the president poses is because of white supremacy. Like, we're boarding up our city buildings ahead of the election because we're like, wow, Black Lives Matter protesters, they're going to come and like break into fucking Tender Greens. But
that's where I would loot, by the way.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Fuck
of
Tender
course.
Greens. Way too expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. For how little a piece of salmon you get for that.
Yes.
Money?
That's what I was going to say.
Serious? Well, I might as well just hit the seas myself.
But I don't know. I just feel like this should maybe be, as soon as somebody calls the election, we should just boot this motherfucker off of all social media platforms because there's.
He will continue to incite violence.
Yeah. And we've seen social media platforms used to incite wild, like massive nationwide violence in other countries when the person inciting them wasn't even the president. Or the president was just allowing it to happen. So, like,
but the thing you got to understand is in the fine print of Facebook ads, if you spend $3 billion with us, we'll give you at least 4 genocide starting misinformation tweets or posts.
Right.
And then we'll pull the plug after that.
We'll give you 7,000 radicalized dads.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I haven't been on Facebook, so I'm very curious. And I'm like, maybe I should just create like a shadow account where I, you know, I'm just like, you know, Sally makes Sally and like Sally loves all the right wing stuff. And so just want to see like what they're being fed, because that is so what we have to look forward to. I mean, Jack, you're right. I think that part of the reason we don't admit, I think from even from an FBI level, from a law enforcement level, from just everyday people level of that, like, white supremacy and extremism is actually incredibly scary, is that we're actually scared. Like, that we don't, there is no plan to really deal with the extremists, and like, people should be afraid. And nobody wants to admit that they've like let this, the cat out of the bag a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's been out since Obama, and there's like actually no real plan to rein it back in.
It's just the weird family secret of the country where it's don't let people know that the entire thing is white supremacy over here.
Yeah.
You know,
but then
like,
I also
have successful Black people, and like that helps sort of create the mirage that this place isn't as violently white supremacist as it actually is. But that's the thing. And I think every time those reports come out, you would just look and be like, I think this is the biggest issue in this country. And most people do say that. But like there's a certain class of people who just cannot embrace that truth, that simple fucking fact. And it's difficult. So it's treated like this, like, you know, like, I don't know who the father of that child is, when everybody's like, it's pretty clear you're not the father. I'm
right.
Okay, whatever. Well, we'll pretend that it's not a big deal.
Yeah. And I think it also is like the reverse of those things the tests they do where they like show people different faces, and like white people inherently fear a brown face, like before they automatically like preliminarily associate a brown face with like a threat. Like they've done that test to, you know, argue as to why like police shouldn't be armed because they are irrationally racist, and like racist at a precognitive level. I think we see the opposite of that in like the, you know, media industrial complex's inability to see white supremacy as the threat that it actually is.
How could people, you know, you look at these newsrooms and the makeup, you know, demographically, what are they going to say? Oh, we might have a problem in our own community.
Yeah.
You know, but they can't. Those are the write-ups you're seeing from publications that are a little more sober-eyed or from coming from minority journalists who are like, there needs to be a reckoning internally in white America about what is going on here.
Instead of normalizing the Richard Spencers and the buttoned up white supremacists who are still just Nazis, and it's almost like people are treating, you know, militia groups as if they're like tacky, like corny, like, oh my God, what's so like Timothy McVeigh, you know, in early 2000s, like no, or 1990s, like. It's still around. They're still here and they're still crazy. Stop trying to cherry pick the one Nazi that knows how to form a sentence and like is like the fucking captain of the debate team. Like that's not your job. Your job. And that's the thing with media generally. And you guys know this, but I just want to say as someone who works in media, journalists are really bad at talking about trends and structural problems. They are really good about like, hey, look at this one black woman who's the head of the KKK in Idaho. You know, like they want the anomaly. They want the story and the headline. So of course they're not going to talk about the avalanche of militias. They want like the one BLM organization that's like, yes, we are armed. You know, like we are just like the white militia. So you're seeing a skewed this is why the mainstream media, not from the right wing, but from a progressive point of view, from the left wing, from a reality point of view, the media is always going to be skewed because a story isn't a story that persists over decades. That's just a fact. And so how do you report on that day by day? Mm-hmm. And it takes and it's hard. Not hard. Yeah. It's like it has to be a decision from that organization to do that.
Yeah. But I mean, they did manage to spend a decade and a half after September 11th reporting on any extremist group that had ties to Islam.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. All right. One last thing I want to talk about is just how underpaid poll workers are, because like they're getting shit for being slow. If we had just let them count when they got the votes in, like that, none of this would be happening. We'd already know who the next president was.
Most of these rules were set by Republicans in these states.
Yeah, and like, what the heck's so that the they could like, make these complaints. Yeah,
like you fucking idiot.
Set them up and knock them down. That's what they do. Yeah. Prove that the government is ineffective by gouging it from the inside out and being like, see, corporations should run everything.
Right. Yeah. 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 That's same with the USPS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's also a task that has a lot of steps, even and like is complex, even when you don't have armed people outside of your ballot collecting station, like banging on the doors and shouting at you to stop counting. It's actually like a pretty awful job. They have to check that. The voter is registered, hasn't voted already, that their signature matches, and then they have to make sure there are no tears, blood, or semen on the ballot. They don't mention semen, but they mention tears and blood or any, quote, sticky stuff. So I'm assuming...
weed? That,
yeah, maybe that sticky icky.
Got weed all over it.
Can you imagine Louis DeJoy is finding a lot of self DeJoy, just trying to like thwart that, just like... Yeah. He's in the back somewhere, just, you know, eating it is what I'm trying to say. All
tubing.
Over the ballots.
He's going
tubing on the ballots.
He's going tubing on the ballots.
That's my producer drop. Tubing on the ballot.
tubing on the ballot. It's good, though. I just want to say, Jack, that it's good, like, just like everything with the Trump administration in this moment is that we're finally, like, understanding the value of certain systems and structures. Instead of just kind of out of ignorance saying we don't care about them, you know, like we all know what the attorney general does now and how important that role is. You know, we all know there's a head of the USPS and how they probably shouldn't be a donor of the, you know, the same administration that they're serving. Mm-hmm. And now we know about poll workers and election boards and how they kind of are strapped for resources and need support rather than just kind of like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I've been saying this whole time, like, I don't know what happens to my ballot.
Yeah.
I guess fairies take it, but it's like, no. They're poll workers and they're election boards and they do a lot of work.
Arizona and Pennsylvania offer, despite like just very long hours, they offer a daily stipend with a minimum amount of less than $100 a day. 11 states offer poll workers the hourly minimum wage. So it's terrible. They're not paid nearly enough.
But that's,
they are
that's
like the node at which our like democracy rests on.
But that's America, you know, like completely de-emphasize, you know, wages for things that are so massively important to the country running, you know, with essential workers. It's like, again, it's like the same pattern. Give them as little as you can. Oh, yeah. Like we would be fucked if these people stopped working and putting in the hours and dedication that they do to their jobs. And then even this with poll workers, the fucking people who we're entrusting with this like this so-called sanctity of our elections, it's still like, yeah, I don't know, man. I guess, wow, it's crazy. These people, it's like, we love it. These people are so dedicated to this process. We can pay them fucking dog shit and they will still treat their job seriously. It's fantastic, man.
Yeah. And then you think of all the money that gets spent during the course of an election. And they won't pay the workers who actually do the work of counting the votes that give us the end results. And now in this election cycle, like we mentioned, like, Maricopa County election workers in Arizona had to be escorted to their cars by the police last night because there were, you know, QAnon protesters chanting and rallying for hours outside. So shout out to poll workers. Like, yes. We appreciate y'all. Thank you for doing the careful work that our entire society rests on.
Thank you for triple scanning those Biden votes.
Yeah, brother.
I just want to say that I didn't lick the envelope. I put water on it, so don't worry. Nice.
I thought you were going to say something else.
Yeah, okay, I put straight
Jeffrey
semen.
Tubin semen. Yeah. Francesca, it's been a pleasure.
Is that the Ken Bone of this election?
Jeffrey Tubin?
Jeffrey Tubin's Zoom call beat-off session?
Yeah.
I hate Ken Bone, so I can't explain how much I dislike that man. And
he's a libertarian, right? So you can go
fucking undecided libertarian. Jojo, I say this, guys, before we end, runoff. I think there should be a runoff. No violence in the streets. Let's do a runoff. Because if there's anything we need, it's more Biden and Trump debates.
Yeah.
And just take Joe Jorgensen out of it, okay?
Yep.
Fuck that woman. No, I'm kidding. Sorry, I'm being great. But like, yeah, Joe, you had your day in the sun. Now it's over, okay? Howie Hawkins Green Party. Like, you know, I like support what you stand for. Don't know what your party's all about, but run off. And then we just close them gaps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Kanye should still be allowed to, should still be allowed to run for sure. That's kind of what I'm just like getting wistful. Like when you get to the end of a really good book where you're just like, it's going to be over soon. Like, what am I going to do then? I'm going to miss it so much. So I totally agree. Let's do a runoff.
Jack, this is the calm before the storm. This is like when Frodo and what's Fred?
Yeah, Fred.
They
Frodo,
just
Fred and Fred and
Fred the
Bob.
Wizard.
Frodo and Fred the Wizard. Sam.
Greg the
Sam.
Wizard.
I'm sorry, Sam. I was thinking Barney and Fred.
Yeah.
Barney Rubble,
Frodo.
Yeah. Same energy. I'm so sorry for the Lord of the Rings fans. I don't give a shit.
They're typically very forgiving and not
okay, good.
You weird
know,
or dogmatic.
Frodo and Sam,
about-
like, isn't there's always a moment where like the hero like has a wistful moment and then a giant slaughter and or fight ensues.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, we probably are headed for a very dark period if Twitter and Facebook don't ban Donald Trump. Well, Francesca, it's been a pleasure having you as always. Where can people find you and follow you?
At Franifio on Instagram and Twitter, and listen to the Bituation Room podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes, there's this great tweet from Noor NF Wazwaz. She works at Vox, saying, America needs a two-state solution. So that's a little, you know, hat tip to the Israel-Palestine two-state solution. I would agree very wholeheartedly. I don't know. Look, secession is not possible, but I mean, it'll be very difficult, but I'm not opposed to it. I do think there should be just like a gay and fabulous America and like greater Idaho. They want Idaho wants to be greater. Apparently there's a whole greater Idaho movement. I'm just like, take it. Take that whole thing.
Yeah, have that.
But we all know we need a one state solution in this country, and that is simply the popular vote.
Yeah.
So,
Miles, where can people find you? What's tweet you've been enjoying?
Of Twitter, Instagram, PlayStation Network, Miles of Gray, and also the other podcast, 420 Day Fiance. I'm just talking about 90 Day over there. And escaping some tweets I like. One is just interesting analysis, just facts from at Aaron Bastani. He says, the age of top Democrats is unreal. Joe Biden, 77. Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, 80. House Majority Whip, Jim Clyburn, 80. House Majority Leader, Steny Hoyer, 81. The baby among top Democrats is Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer at 6'9". And the country's median age is 38. So, yeah, you know what I mean? I think we... God, I hope there's more steam behind taking Nancy's gavel away. But we'll see about that. And then another one is from Donald Trump Jr. Just a straight tweet, because this is a desperate young man. He says, the total lack of action from virtually all the 2024 GOP hopefuls, quote unquote, it's pretty amazing, man. They have a perfect platform to show that they're willing and able to fight, but they will cower to the media mob instead. Don't worry, at real Donald Trump. We'll fight, and they can watch as usual. So this man is having a night as well. And then also, I just got to give it up to the cold brew god himself, Chris Crofton at The Crofton Show. He was the name of the pastor again, Trump's pastor,
White?
Homegirl.
Oh, yeah, Paula White.
Paula White.
I can't believe her last name is White, and I'm just noticing that. That's wild.
She got Molly. She got White. Hannah Montana. So he's saying, in his classic Chris Crofton construction, and I'll just play it for you, cold brew got me like...
Victory, 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 victory. For angels are being released right now. Angels are being dispatched right now. Hamanda, ata, ata, raka, te, de, baka, sanda, ata, amu,
woo, osa. Woo, 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 offset. Haramaraka, taka, raka, nuga, tu, ra, ra, hey.
Straight up. Straight up. That was amazing.
Oh, I hope Suede the Remix God hits us with a good remix of that one.
Yeah, yeah.
I think iMarquias already has one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Did you guys see this woman on Instagram doing like the... She's like doing this facing the camera, like acting where she says, I'm not ready to die. Yes, give me the vaccine. And then she cut to her with a hat on. So you can tell she's a different character. And she says, I am ready to die. And I will not take your vaccine so that you can robo chip me. And then like cut to like fake blood on her face. And she's like, I'm still ready. I'm going to do it. And then like cut to her in heaven. And she's like basically being killed for not wanting to get the vaccine that Obama's going to use to microchip us all. And somebody tweeted, white people are so fucking weird. And if he tweeted, I swear to God, I'm finna make millions with my slavery amusement park since white people want to be oppressed so bad.
It's funny though, because you see that people who are like in the dominant part of the society or who are typically doing the oppressing, they're so bad at making things about oppression because it's just so abstract to them. They're like, wild. I don't know, I think this is what it is, a TikTok video where I put fake blood on my face rather than like, whatever.
People need to watch that video though. I think it's the most important piece of content made by and about America.
For those people that were screaming in like Michigan and Nevada for to stop the votes, do you think the first question asked was somebody trying to speak to the manager?
Yeah.
I'm saying if they were all just Karens, we might have a real problem on our hands.
All you need is one black woman to come out and they would fucking scatter.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah. Oh, I'm your manager. They're like, ah, never mind. I don't know. Is there another manager? Okay, I don't know how to.
Calls the cops. Smoke.
Yeah.
And then Reductress tweeted a picture of a rotting pumpkin, and it said, five rotting pumpkins that will make you say same. You can find me on Twitter, @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter @DailyZeitgeist. We're @TheDailyZeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, DailyZeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding out on?
I mean, as we wait for results to trickle in and new numbers to trickle in.
What are we riding into the Biden presidency on?
Riding with Biden. Well,
I'll keep it to the news. As we wait for the election results to come in, this is a track from Alchemist featuring Schoolboy Q, everybody's favorite Crip, and it's called WYGDTNS, meaning, when you gonna drop that new shit? Because I think that's what we're asking every Secretary of State right now across the country. When you gonna drop that new shit? When you get them new numbers back? So check this one out. It's a great laid-back sample, and, you know, Schoolboy Q always delivers.
All right. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this afternoon. We'll probably be back this evening
to
update you on what is happening in the world and with the election. We will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Remember that shit out, nigga's life. Q, when you gonna drop that new shit? Guess what, nigga, I dropped this. Between my life, my fame, my body, my daughter, be happy, I'm focused. Stay on that flight like tourists. Running them lights, no peers. Me and this little here fierce. But when you gonna drop that new shit? Come on, my nigga, you see what I'm doing here, take time. Could've came with the same rhymes. Flipping that same bitch. Whipping that same brick. Stand on that same block, screaming them same yachts. Get a feature from K-Dot, put me out in that same box. Too talented for it, the rims, the chains, the Porsche. Credibly cripping the first to do it, the bridge, the verse, the chorus.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. Celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women. Creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection. Obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.